Let's face it, most people aren't making massive turkey feasts on the regular. And after 364 days of not thinking about it, it can be hard to get that bird just right. That's where Instacart, the holiday rescue app, comes in. From getting all the ingredients to prep a full seasonal spread to getting last-minute swaps in a turkey emergency, Instacart has everything a holiday host needs to save face and save dinner. And right now, if you download Instacart, you'll get free delivery on your first three orders and delivery in as fast as 1 hour. Offer valid for a limited time. $10 minimum per order. Additional terms apply.
I'm Snoop Dogg, and I'm giving up smoke. I know what you're thinking. Snoop. Smoke is kind of your whole thing, but I'm done with it. I'm done with the coughing and my clothes smelling all funky. I'm going smokeless. Solo Stove Fixed Fire. They took out the smoke. Now you can have a nice blaze without any clouds ruining your day. Go smokeless. Go to solostove.com. Tell them Big Snoop Dogg sent you.
Live from the palatial yet not overly ostentatious studios of CBS Sports Radio here in beautiful New York City, sitting on top of the 10th floor of 345 Hudson Street. Welcome on in to a Wednesday edition of the Zach Gelb Show across all of our great local CBS Sports Radio affiliates, Sirius XM, Channel 158, the free Odyssey app, and of course, streaming on YouTube. 855-212-4CBS is number to jump on in, 855-212-4227. You could always get at me on Instagram, where I'm straight flexing, or via the good old cesspool of Twitter, at Zach Gelb. That's Z-A-C-H-G-E-L-B. Got Moist Mike and Stuart Kovacs here with me, rocking and rolling all the way up until 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 p.m. Pacific. Coming up 20 minutes from now, from the Longhorn Network, also SiriusXM college football analyst Fozzie Whitaker will join us as the final college football playoff rankings before the one that actually do matter came on out last night. So we'll react to all that and also preview Texas's Big 12 championship game up against Mike Gundy and Oklahoma State. And then in the final hour of the show at 5:20 p.m. Eastern, 2:20 p.m. Pacific, Mike the Situation from the famous Jersey Shore show. That's a tongue twister. Jersey Shore show. We'll stop by and join us in studio. He actually has a book out. So we'll talk to him about overcoming addiction coming up later on in the show. So a whole lot to do today, but we got to start with, I guess you could say this is some pretty big news, and that is that Aaron Rodgers and the Jets have activated his return to play window of 21 days. So if you don't know how this works, Rodgers was put on IR. He was designated to be able to return. No one thought 79 days ago when he tears his Achilles that Aaron Rodgers had an opportunity to come on back for the JTS Jets this year. But now he is allowed to be on the practice field, and they have 21 days to determine if he's going to be elevated to the active roster, to the 53-man roster. That could happen at any time. It could happen today. It could happen tomorrow. It could happen 21 days from now. But if it does not happen 21 days from now, his season is officially over. So I'll give you the immediate reaction right out of the gate. This would be the dumbest thing I've ever seen in the history of the NFL if Aaron Rodgers steps back foot on an NFL field this year. It would make absolutely, positively zero sense. The Jets are 4-7. The reporting, if you go back to Ian Rappaport a few weeks ago, that he's targeting that Sunday, December 24th game against the Commanders to make his triumphant return. The Jets the next 3 weeks play Atlanta, they play Houston, and they play Miami. They should lose all three of those games. Even if they win one of those games, at that stage of the season, they would have 9 losses. The Jets right now are 4-7. Even if they take 2 out of 3 here, the Jets would be sitting at 6-8. You're telling me the Jets, who have been synonymous with dumb decision after dumb decision, when you have seen now Aaron Rodgers heal as quick as any human being known to man with this Achilles tear, you're telling me the Jets are going to risk putting him on the field for the final 3 games of the season behind a putrid offensive line and also with nothing to play for? Does anyone actually buy that? No, I know Aaron Rodgers loves to have his name in the news. I know Aaron Rodgers loves to be part of the conversation and be the biggest topic of the conversation. But there is a difference in trying to get back and then actually getting back. And I know Rodgers goes on McAfee yesterday and he talks about how well he's feeling, and there's multiple factors that play into this decision. And one of them is the team has to have a shot. And say what you want about Aaron Rodgers, whether you love him, whether you hate him, whether you believe in some of the theories he puts out there or the craziness with the ayahuasca and the cave and the darkness retreat and all that, whatever you say, Aaron Rodgers, in some capacity, is a smart man. And Aaron Rodgers knows he doesn't have that much football left in him. But the Jets next year, assuming they improve their offensive line in this offseason, the Jets have a shot next year. I don't know if they'll win a Super Bowl, but the Jets next year should be a playoff team and should be a team that you're not going to want to face in the postseason, because the Jets have a dominant defense. They have a wide receiver in Garrett Wilson, who I feel really bad for this year. Like, we were talking about Garrett Wilson, who had an awesome first year coming out of Ohio State, playing for the Jets with no quarterback. He gets Aaron Rodgers. Aaron Rodgers saying he reminds him a lot of another 17 he played with. That's Davante Adams. People are talking about Garrett Wilson being a 15, 16, 17, 1,800-yard wide receiver, having a Pro Bowl season, an All-Pro season. And now he's in the same boat as last year, where we know he has the ability. We know he could put up the prodigious stats, but he can't reach his full potential when Zach Wilson or Tim Boyle, Pat Boyle, I think he hosts shows around here, or Trevor Siemian is the quarterback. You just can't succeed when you have incompetent quarterback play. You could have some good individual moments, but you won't reach your ceiling all the way up here without a really damn good quarterback. And you have one of the greatest quarterbacks of all time in your building who's only getting older. And could you imagine? It would be so Jet-like. And this would be horrible to see. Let me be clear. When I'm saying this, it doesn't mean I'm rooting for this to happen. But it would be very Jet-like. They put Rodgers on the field for the final three games of the season, which are absolutely meaningless, when the team's going to already have 8 or 9 losses, if not more than that. And you're going to put him on the field for the Commanders, the Browns, on a short week. Remember, that's the other thing no one's talking about. He goes back for that Commanders game, plays on that Sunday. Then they play up against the Browns in Cleveland on Thursday. And then you wrap up the season with the Patriots on that Sunday, January 7th. You're going to put a quarterback who's up there in age, maybe only has a year or two left on the field with no offensive line and no hope to get to the playoffs. You know what's going to happen? You are asking, you are begging, you are imploring the sports gods to have Aaron Rodgers get injured again. That's what you're hoping for. Like, that's what you're asking for. And that's a real thing that you got to think about. And I usually don't sit here and say, let's be afraid, let's be extra careful, let's be extra cautious. If the Jets had a shot, if the Jets had a legitimate chance to go do something this year, and Rodgers says he's good to go and he's cleared, I wouldn't be saying a damn word. But when you are not ready, when your offensive line is trash, and you have no hope to go make the playoffs or go make a run in the playoffs, it would be one of the more pointless things I've ever, and I mean ever, have seen an NFL team do. And that would be the worst thing in the world if, God forbid, he goes in front of that garbage offensive line that's like a turnstile in Penn Station before COVID, and you put him on that field and he suffers an elbow injury or a shoulder injury or an ACL injury after doing the quickest recovery from a torn Achilles ever. So I understand what Rodgers is doing today. He's proven a point. He's keeping his name in the news. He has somehow miraculously, even as inconceivable as it seems, has been able to get back with the team and activate this 21-day window. But I don't buy for a damn second that he's going to be playing in a game this year. And he does that, and he steps foot on the field. I know people are going to say, what a remarkable recovery. Oh, what an insane, speedy recovery. Good for Aaron. He didn't just listen to what the doctor said, and he found a way to fight through with the positive mentality, blah, 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 and now he's playing in a game. He He's not going to be 100%. And you're asking him to basically run for his life behind an offensive line that is horrible? Like, I know we all like to pile on Zach Wilson. Zach Wilson is a bad quarterback. When I went to that Jet Chargers game, because a buddy of mine wanted to go to the game and he made me get him tickets and drag me there with him. When we went to that game, I walked away from that game and I know how bad Zach Wilson is, right? That ship has already sailed. But you could walk away from that game and talk about like three other areas that were worse than Zach Wilson. How many times the receivers dropped the football, another being that offensive line. And Zach Wilson was running for his life. Now, Zach Wilson's not a good quarterback, but nothing has changed on the offensive line from then until now that makes me feel comfortable with Aaron Rodgers for three games left in the season getting behind this offensive line. And don't give me this crap of, oh, he needs to build team chemistry. You have all offseason to build team chemistry. They have built some team chemistry this past offseason. And also, Aaron Rodgers is basically the de facto general manager. There's guys that are only on the Jets who shouldn't be on the Jets that they're there because they know Aaron Rodgers. And maybe more will follow this year. You know the Jets are going to try everything in their power they already have to go land Davante Adams. I guarantee you David Bakhtiari next year is probably playing at left tackle or on the offensive line somewhere for the New York Jets. But we should not see Aaron Rodgers in a Jets uniform on the field until 2024. Because all you're doing is asking for problems. You are playing with fire, and I just hope when you play with that fire in the final 3 weeks of the season, you don't get burnt. Because that would be such a level of incompetence and gross incompetence and such a level of frustration and just being idiotic to a level that we've never seen if, God forbid, he gets back on the field in a unnecessary, meaningless final 3 weeks and he suffers an injury. And I'm not even a Jet fan telling you this. Imagine being a Jet fan, and I'm sure there'll be some Jet fans. I'll be like, yeah, J-E-T-S, Jets, Jet up. Oh, yeah, we're all fired up. Rodgers coming back. Reason to watch the team for the final 3 weeks of the season. You're that Jets fan, you're a sycophant. You're that Jets fan, you're an idiot. You're that Jet fan, you're a moron. You're that Jet fan, you're a dope. The smart Jet fan says, Aaron, we love you. Aaron, we appreciate you. We are really inspired by your miraculous, quick, speedy recovery. We are so fired up for you to be the quarterback of the Jets next year. But we got to do what's in the best interest of you. We got to make sure, because I think Douglas and Saleh will be back, that the two of them beef up this offensive line this offseason. Get you another wide receiver. And we'll see you next year. You want to come back? We appreciate the effort. But what are you playing for? Come on, Aaron. You shouldn't step on that field. And down deep, even when you hear it a little bit this week on McAfee, I think Rodgers knows there is a fine line that he's playing. And I think he knows there's a difference in saying, I'm feeling good. Look at the way that I'm walking. Look at the way that I'm throwing the football before the game. I'm back with the team. I'm practicing with the team. I'm gearing myself up to play. But then there's a difference in saying, I am playing. I am on the active roster. I am getting on a football field where somewhere else could tackle me over the course of 60 minutes. And down deep, I would like to think, and I do think, that Aaron Rodgers knows that even though there may be like a little voice in his head, you have the devil and you have the angel, and the angel's saying, just wait until 2024. And then you got the devil saying, return, return, Aaron. We need you on the field. 2023, here we come. Let's go. Jet up. J-E-T-S, Jets, Jets, Jets. I would like to think that Aaron Rodgers goes, devil, be quiet. Devil, shut up. Devil, stop talking. Devil, you're an idiot. That's what I would like to think happen. Because I would be irate. Even though it would be crazy and I couldn't believe it, I would be irate if you see him on the field this year. Because it don't make any damn sense. And I think Rodgers realizes this, where you put yourself in the media, you get stroked a little bit, everyone sucks up to you, everyone says, oh, this is amazing, oh, this is wonderful, look what he did in this recovery. but we don't need to see the end result of the recovery until 2024. So should Aaron Rodgers play in a game for the Jets this season? That's the question. 855-212-4CBS, 855-212-4227. It's also the poll question, which you can find on my social media page on X or Twitter, whatever we call it these days, at Zach Gelb, Z-A-C-H-G-E-L-B. We'll also get it up on CBS Sports Radio's Twitter page as well. Should Aaron Rodgers play in a game for the Jets this season? Early, super-duper early returns. 23.4% say yes. 76.6% know what they're talking about, and they say no. We'll take a break. We'll come on back. Is Texas going to make the college football playoff? Former Longhorn, now part of the Longhorn Network, Fozzie Whitaker will join us on the Zach Gelb Show next.
Hey, this is Richard Deitch, the host of the Sports Media Podcast. If you're interested in what's happening with all the places where you consume sports, the Sports Media Podcast has you covered. Here's longtime NFL and NBA announcer Ian Eagle.
Would I find this entertaining if I was sitting on the couch watching the game, or would this be a nuisance? Would this get in the way? Does it enhance the enjoyment for the viewer, or at some point are you becoming an annoyance?
Listen on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
High Five Casino. Social casino fun with real prizes and big Vegas hits. Have you had your high five moment today?
Hey there, I'm Bob. Before High Five Casino, my high fives were more like low threes. But after my high five moment, boom, high fives all around.
That's the spirit. High Five Casino is turning every moment into a high five moment. Visit h5c.fun. That's h5c.fun. And start spinning and winning today. High Five Casino. High Five Casino is a social casino only. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited. Play responsibly. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Conference championship weekend is almost here, and how about the Texas Longhorns? They'll play for the Big 12 championship game and then have to hope they'll get into the college football playoff, because who the heck knows what's going to happen to determine who will be the final four teams. Let's go out to the guest line right now and welcome in a Longhorn. He's a part of the Longhorn Network and is also a phenomenal analyst for SiriusXM, and that's my man, Fozzie Whitaker. Fozzie, always great to see you. Appreciate the time. How you been?
Man, I've been well, Zach. I appreciate the opportunity to be on. I'm kind of in a weird little room right now, so if I echo, don't blame me, because I'm trying to figure it out myself. But, man, I've been great. Longhorn's been winning, so that's been making me feel better, as is as well.
We were all trying to figure out what this team was going to be this year. I picked them to win the Big 12 before the start of the season. A lot of people were a little skeptical if Texas would match the hype that was surrounding this team to now be in the Big 12 championship game, be a big favorite up against Oklahoma State. Just what's been the vibe around the team following it throughout the entire season?
Well, I think skepticism was the right word whenever you start talking about what this Texas team has been really over the past decade, right? You look at the Charlie Strong era, obviously the end of the Mack Brown era even before that, but Charlie Strong, and then you go into the Tom Herman era, and then even the first season for Steve Sarkisian, 5-7, and last year, 8-5, skepticism was always apparent, and Texas fans have been down this road every single season. They find a way to get up before the season starts. They experience some wins, and all of a sudden, everybody wants to hit the "we're back" conversation, right? We've heard that time and time again, and everybody wants to say, okay, this Texas team does look good. And then all of a sudden they stumble, lose to an Oklahoma State, or they lose to a Kansas State, or lose to Iowa State, lose to Baylor, whatever the case may be. Insert Big 12 team where Texas has lost and stumbled along the way. And then ultimately that's kind of defined who Texas was as a program over the past 12, 13 years. And you look at where this Texas team started off, the expectation that you mentioned, first time being ranked by the preseason media poll as the number one team in the conference since 2009, whenever they actually won it. And it was a little bit of a different hype surrounding this Texas team, right? You got one of the best quarterbacks that came in from Ohio State, transfer last year, Quinn Ewers, as an ultimate recruit, right? You had Malik Murphy, which wasn't being talked about a ton. And then you just brought in one of the youngest hotshot guys with the best smoking last name in Arch Manning coming into that staff. You look at that room, man, the competition was there. Then you got a guy like Xavier Worthy, he was coming back, one of Texas's all-time leading receivers in multitude of categories. You bring in a guy like Adonai Mitchell, who's been able to perform in big-time games. And then Tavondre Sweat and Byron Murphy, the emergence of those two guys, the duo that they have on the interior defensive line. It's been unbelievable to watch the culture change, to watch the mentality shift from where Texas has been to where they are now. And it all started with Steve Sarkisian's first year and how he just kept grinding away. And you can see the same way he was grinding away at the culture and the mentality of his Texas team is the same way that skepticism kept being grounded away from a lot of Texas fans in the Austin area and across the country, right? It started scooping away, all right? You beat some of your old Big 12 rivals, some of your Big 12 foes, Baylor, right? Baylor's had your number a couple of seasons ago. You beat them. Kansas State has had their number. You beat them. You look at Kansas. They beat them 2 years ago, right? Kansas beating Texas, all right? You finally avenged that loss. You look at Iowa State. Iowa State has had their number a couple of times as well, and Texas avenges that loss. And you look at who they are right now and the opportunity that they have in the Big 12 championship game to play against Oklahoma State, who's also generally has had Texas number over the past decade, and it sets up like a poetic justice type of matchup. It almost looks like it's a reality TV show, the way that it's playing out. But Steve Sarkisian has this team believing, and ultimately that belief has spread into the Austin area and Texas fans alike, as they're sitting 11-1, haven't been in this position in a very long time.
Fozzie Whitaker here with us. Where's your confidence level that they won't stumble this weekend up against Gundy's Oklahoma State team?
My confidence level is sitting pretty high. I know Mike Gundy and that Oklahoma State football team, they're a good team, right? They've experienced some adversity early on, losing back-to-back games against South Alabama and then losing against Iowa State. And then they found a way to just win. And by any means necessary, they were able to put it together. You got the nation's leading rusher, Ollie Gordon II, playing at an inhumane type of level right now. Like, he is not human. Dude's playing on a superhero type level. If you start talking about him and the things that he's doing this season, and you see some of the records that he's been able to be associated with, that name being Barry Sanders, then that means this guy is doing something in an immaculate way. So Mike Gundy, over the course of his tenure at Oklahoma State, knows how to win. He's been the best coach in the Big 12 over the past few seasons as far as what he's been able to navigate his team through. And he's going to throw the kitchen sink at this Texas team. It's a perfect example of Texas has everything to lose. And Mike Gundy, he's like, we don't have nothing to lose, right? And we might as well just throw out the kitchen sink. And Texas is the one that you feel like they should come in double-digit favorite in some of the Vegas betting odds. And then you look at Oklahoma State, they're like, oh, just don't pay attention to us. Poor little old us. We only just won 9 games and found a way to get into the championship game when nobody counted on us. And ultimately, it's going to be a dogfight in my mind. But my confidence is high. The way Steve Sarkisian has gotten this team to be able to rally from some of the deficits that they were facing, some of the adversity that this Texas team has gone through, winning the close games, finding a way to win. That had been the Achilles heel. It was like Texas would get up and then somehow they would squander the lead and find a way to lose, right? Or Texas would start off slow and then ultimately not make a play at the end of the game that resulted in another loss. And we've seen that over the past decade, but Steve Sarkisian has found a way to get this team to win, and they're 3-1 in one score possession games this season. And that's the difference maker, right? You found a way to close out games by any means necessary, whether you lose a lead, whether you pull it out late, whether you just blow them out by 50 points like we saw last Friday. This Texas team has found a way to win in a multitude and a variety of ways. And I think ultimately that brings my confidence level high as they are preparing for another opportunity to kind of showcase their last ditch effort of leaving the Big 12 and hopefully riding out on a high note with the Big 12 championship.
Fozzie Whitaker, what would you say? They went on Saturday. They're a one-loss Big 12 champ. Only loss was to a close margin by Oklahoma. And then come Sunday, they're not one of the 4 teams remaining in the college football playoff. What would you say to that?
The first thing I would say was don't lose, right? Ultimately, you're in control of your own fate. You're in control of your own destiny. And there are a lot of Texas fans that probably don't want to hear that. And I understand.
But if they win, do you think they're automatically in?
Single losses. No, not at all. Not at all. You look at the other Power 5 conferences and the champions of those. If the ones that are currently in position stay undefeated, then you already got your top 4, right? Yeah. Florida State, you're looking at Michigan, you're looking at Georgia, and you're looking at Washington. Those are the undefeateds right now. If they stay undefeated, then you don't have a leg to stand on from the standpoint of you had your chance, you lost, and you weren't able to come out on top, and you'll be one or the second best one loss team that is sitting there on the outside looking in. If we go over all the other different scenarios, you could probably look at the one that's probably most straightforward for most Texas fans to believe in and could possibly happen is Texas fans got to be Louisville fans right now. They pulling Absolutely. Out all the Lamar Jackson jerseys. They're pulling out everything that they can. Go Cardinals, whatever you want to say. That's what Texas fans are saying. They need them to upset Florida State. And ultimately, I think that's the cleanest path to allow Texas to be one of the four teams to compete for the national championship by making the CFP in those top four. You kind of believe that a Pac-12 team is going to get in. They've been ranked. Both of those teams have been ranked ahead of Texas all season long. So they'll probably stay there. Same way with the SEC, right? You got to believe that Georgia is going to stay there. If Alabama wins, there's a different conversation.
Well, that's the big one because you guys beat them by 10 points in Tuscaloosa. And this is what I'll say, Fozzie Whitaker. I understand right now it's Texas 7, Alabama 8. You know this. Alabama's a one-loss SEC champ. I have a tough time seeing the committee leaving them out, and this could be some real chaos that happens.
They wouldn't leave them out. You know, I think, and this is probably a crazy scenario, but I think it'd be more likely to happen that Georgia would be left out, as crazy as it seems, as a one-loss non-conference champion versus Texas. And I could see a pathway where Texas – and Alabama get into the playoffs with the one loss, even though Georgia only faced the one loss in the conference championship game. So I could see a pathway there. I don't Michigan, Iowa, I don't expect much to happen there. Yeah. But you never know. That's why the games are played, right? You never know. But I fully, probably 99.9% expect Michigan to win that game.
Yeah, so, Michigan may have the same amount so of points as punts that that Iowa has. I would think the numbers would be comparable.
I wouldn't be surprised. But, yeah, it's a lot of different scenarios. Ultimately, Texas needs to win. Let everything else unfold itself. You can't worry about anything but what you can control and what you can handle. And that's probably the same message that Steve Sarkisian is telling his group of guys, especially the leaders, guys like Jordan Whittington, Quinn Ewers, Tavondre Sweat, you know, Byron Murphy, guys that get their last chance to play in a Big 12 game. That's the message, right? Handle what you can control. Let everything else sort itself out. And ultimately, go put your best foot forward, and that's all you can do.
Taking the Longhorn hat off, Fozzie Whitaker, you got to tell me who you think the four teams are remaining on Sunday. Who do you think gets the invite?
I ultimately think it'll be Georgia, still staying at number one. I think it'll be Michigan at number two. I think it'll be Florida State as the third unbeaten at number three. This is where it gets tricky, right? The Washington-Oregon game, it can go either way. And I know the point spread is way high in Oregon's favor, but I just cannot take out of my mind that these two teams have played. Also, Washington has found a way to win gritty games. Now, it's not the way that you want to. Oregon's been unblemished since their loss to Washington. They've looked really good. I'm not taking that away. I side with people knowing how to get a win in a multitude of ways, and Washington has been able to do that. And so, ultimately, I think on Friday night, they prevail. Michael Penix Jr. puts on one of his best performances, and I think it's the four undefeated teams playing in the CFP. That's probably what the Boo Corrigan and the CFP committee want to hear too, to make their jobs easier, not have to turn it into a calculus program trying to figure out which one lost team deserves to be in there, which one lost team is going to be in there or is the best, right? That's the conversation in and of itself, most deserving versus best team. But for me, man, I see it playing out as the undefeateds are right now. I think it stays that way, and those top four teams will make it to the CFP.
I got to ask you one question for next year with Texas. It looks like, I know nothing's official yet. There was a report a few weeks ago, and then it was refuted that Quinn Ewers is going to come back. If Quinn Ewers comes back, what happens with Arch Manning next year?
I think Arch Manning still stays. The reason why is because everything that I've seen of him, everything that I've heard of him is it's okay to continue to get better while you're not necessarily the starter. I think the bigger conversational topic goes around Malik Murphy. That's a guy that I don't think stays around because Texas fan base got a little taste of Arch, right? They got a glimpse. And it was because Malik Murphy got hurt and inadvertently got rolled up on the sideline against Texas Tech last Friday. He's not available to play. You see the insertion of Arch Manning, and he made some plays. It wasn't like this, oh, he's about to win the Heisman type of plays, but you could see the potential and the ability that he possesses, and he has that wow factor about himself, not to mention he's a little more athletic than his uncles as far as running the ball as well. So that adds to a bit of that wow factor that he possesses. But I don't ultimately think it changes anything if Quinn Ewers comes back. I think the belief that, you know, Mr. Manning, Cooper Manning, Arch Manning, Archie, man, all of the Manning family household have in the decision-making that allowed Arch to get to the University of Texas was in what Steve Sarkisian was building and how well Steve Sarkisian has been able to develop quarterbacks over their tenure at a school, not necessarily because it's just one season, but over the course of 2, 3, 4 seasons at that university. And I think that's ultimately the bigger picture of where Arch Manning wants to be with this Texas program, especially going into the SEC, a perfect opportunity to continue to develop. And we know, like every quarterback in every Power Five conference, there have been injuries. Football is a arduous sport. I mean, we look at Jordan Travis a couple of weeks ago, right?
Yeah, and terrible.
Hopefully a speedy recovery for him, but injuries happen. Quinn Ewers, this is the second year straight he hasn't been able to finish the entire season without missing time. So if there's any opportunity to be able to realize your potential on the field during a season, you're one play away as the backup quarterback. So I think that's why Arch Manning stays. I think the faith and the belief that he has in Steve Sarkisian will remain true, and he'll still be a part of this Texas football team next season. I don't know if I can say the same about Malik Murphy, though.
Last thing I'll ask you, I got to just factor in one NFL question here. One of our great fans, Brian, is a big Panthers fan. He remembers you from your days with the Carolina Panthers. How much you've been following what's going on with your pro football team as David Tepper just keeps on firing coaches left and right and has absolutely zero patience?
Unfortunately, I'm trying to cross that out of my mind because that's not the Carolina Panther program that I was a part of. That's not the franchise that I was able to help build and reach the Super Bowl with. And ultimately, man, it's just been agony. And obviously, he can attest to it being a Panther fan. He's seen the ups, and Carolina is going through the lows right now. It's unfortunate. You hire a phenomenal staff that you think on paper should work out. You think they would have more success than 1-10 at this moment in the football season. And David Tepper says, nah, not happening. He gets rid of him midseason, first year. Deuce Staley is out as well as the associate head coach and running back coach. And it's just unfortunate. You can't build stability by not creating a stable environment. And I think that's where we look at how the organization has fared since the firing of Ron Rivera. And ultimately, I think that decision probably has backfired a little on David Tepper as he's trying to find the right mixture of group of guys to help lead this organization. The timing couldn't be even more worse. What they gave up to be able to draft Bryce Young, what C.J. Stroud is doing right now probably motivated Mr. Tepper to make the decision that he did in the middle of the season to fire his staff in the manner that he did. But ultimately, it's some growing pains that they're going to have to fight through. They're going to have to find some consistency and continuity in order to get back to the level of degree that we got to see them whenever I played there, right? You got to find that franchise piece. And it's going to be a rebuilding phase for the next couple of seasons, most likely. And ultimately, whenever you get the right group of guys in, you can feel the difference. It's the same way with Texas football right now, right? It's been a carousel of coaches. You had seen the culture not where it needed to be. And then ultimately, you got the right guy in, Steve Sarkisian. It took now year number 3 for Sark to be able to experience that. You see a similar type of progression happen in the NFL, where the guys got to be married to the coaches got to be married to the guys, and that relationship has to flow hand in hand. And ultimately, David Tepper hasn't been able to find that consistent relationship between coach and players. He's going to need that if he wants this program and franchise to be successful.
Fozzie Whitaker, always great conversations whenever we get you on. Thanks so much. Have a great weekend. Enjoy the football.
I appreciate it, man. Enjoy the football as well. It is going to be a weekend to remember. So much is on the line. I'm excited for it this weekend.
No doubt about it. And Hook'em, of course, will be supporting the Texas Longhorns this weekend for our pal Fozzie Whitaker. That, of course, Fozzie Whitaker does a great job. Longhorn Network, also Sirius XM analyst as well. It is the Zach Gelb Show, coast to coast on CBS Sports Radio. Let's take a break. We'll come on back. When we do return, we have must-listen-to audio that you got to hear from Tyreek Hill. You don't want to miss that. Update time first. Here he is, the Act Man, Rich Ackerman.
If you're updating your closet for summer, you need dependable clothes that you can wear anywhere, whatever you're doing. And for that, you can look to American Giant. American Giant makes clothing of exceptional quality for people who want something more than the status quo offers. Whether you need to re-up on reliable everyday t-shirts, pick up a solid pair of shorts, or invest in a pair of durable jeans, American Giant is a better choice. They make everything right here in the USA from start to finish. So when you buy from American Giant, you become part of creating jobs and improving local communities in towns and cities all across the country. And keeping things local ensures the kind of quality you'll feel and appreciate for years to come. Shop your new summertime closet staples at American-Giant.com and get 20% off your order when you use code WA23 at checkout. That's 20% off at American-Giant.com with promo code WA23.
All righty, it is the Zach Gelb Show, coast to coast on CBS Sports Radio. I got to play you this audio from Tyreek Hill. You're going to hear it, and you're going to say, huh? Like, really? He just said this? But this is Tyreek Hill on CBS Sports Network when he was asked, can the Miami Dolphins win the Super Bowl?
Of course, man. We got the perfect team to do it. Like, the way we practice, like, the way we play for one another is something that I've never seen before in a team. Like, I won a Super Bowl, and I feel like this is probably the better team than when we won a Super Bowl back when I was on KC.
Really? Ay, ay, ay. Tyreek Hill is addicted to just trying to hype up the Dolphins, and in some way, in hyping up the Dolphins, trying to take shots at his old employer. But it's funny, when Tyreek Hill saw Andy Reid on the field before the Dolphins-Chiefs game in Germany, it was all like, smoochy, smoochy, Andy Reid, you're the greatest, thanks so much for giving me the opportunity and standing by me, blah, 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 you know, 15, I love you, all that stuff. So it first started with Tyreek Hill when he first got to the Miami Dolphins. And part of it, I think, was being a good teammate. Like, that's the irony of it. But you could be a good teammate and not say something that's unnecessary or say something that's ridiculous when he was saying, Tua Tagovailoa is the most accurate quarterback that I've ever played with. And I'm like, really? Like, I don't care what the stats say. If that's the big feather in the cap for Tua Tagovailoa up against Mahomes, is that Tyreek Hill says, oh, you're more accurate than my old quarterback? All right, you want to make that comment? Fine. And he didn't say that Tua was better than Mahomes. He just said he was more accurate. But what does that mean when we all know if you shoot Tyreek Hill up with truth serum and say, which quarterback would you rather play with? He would say Patrick Mahomes in a second compared to Tua Tagovailoa. And I get what the Dolphins were, in a calculated way, trying to do that offseason or two offseasons ago. Because Brian Flores, as good of a head coach as he appeared to be in Miami, and as good of a job that he did or he's doing right now with the Minnesota Vikings as the defensive coordinator, the one egregious error he made was not embracing and going all in with the cards that he was dealt and the hand that he was dealt with Tua Tagovailoa as his quarterback. And Mike McDaniel gets there right away, goes to Tua Tagovailoa's charity event. You have Tyreek Hill saying he's more accurate than Mahomes. But with all of that, we could take it with a massive grain of salt. And Tua has shown, when healthy, he's a good quarterback. I don't think he's an MVP quarterback. I don't think he's a great quarterback. I don't think he's an all-time great quarterback. But when he is healthy, he has the ability to be a top 10 quarterback in the league. Now, I will just say to Tyreek Hill, you think this team is better than the Kansas City team. He didn't just say offense. Like, you tell me just the offense, it's a different conversation. He said the team is better. So you're telling me that team is better. Who has Miami beat this year? And I'm not saying Miami's bad. Heck, I was on an island this year telling people the Miami Dolphins were going to win the AFC East this year. That was my pick before the start of the season. But Miami in their three biggest games of the year got smacked by an above-average Buffalo team this year. They lost to the Philadelphia Eagles. And oh yeah, by the way, that Kansas City Chiefs team didn't score a point in the second half, and they still beat you by a touchdown. Where Tua Tagovailoa, with the game on the line, trying to go tie up the game or get a touchdown and maybe go for two and win the game, on back-to-back plays, he lost the game where he significantly, not just underthrew, significantly underthrew Cedric Wilson Jr., who was wide open for an easy touchdown. And I think I said, I got on the air the next day, I remember, and said, oh, that ball was like 5 yards short. And then Santa's like, what are you talking about? It was like 10, 15 yards short. I thought that maybe this was like Jerry's World in Germany, where they had a big jumbotron, and somehow, some way, Tua hit the jumbotron, and then the ball just fell down. But then the next play, he tried to redeem himself, and Tua dropped the snap, fumbled the ball, and they lost the game on that fourth down. So Tyreek Hill is in his current situation. He's in his current environment. And I think, right, we've all changed jobs. We've all gone to new places. Sometimes they're actually better. Sometimes they're not. And the Miami Dolphins are in a really good spot. But Tyreek is just going out of his way. Where, Stu, play the audio again. Just one more time. Play this with Tyreek one more time before I make my next point. Go ahead.
Of course, man. We got the perfect team to do it. Like, the way we practice, like the way we play for one another is something that I've never seen before in a team. Like, I won a Super Bowl, and I feel like this is probably the better team than when we won a Super Bowl back when I was on KC.
All he needed to say when he was asked the simple question of, do you think this team could win a Super Bowl, was about the first 6 seconds of that answer. Yeah, I do. I know what it takes to win a Super Bowl. We have a heck of a team, and I look forward to showing that the rest of the season. But he can't help himself. And the crazy part here is, usually I just thought this was Tyreek Hill trying to get a lot of pop and buzz for his podcast. It wasn't even on his podcast. You know, he says this on his podcast. I could just say, oh, I could do what everyone else does when they don't like one of my opinions. He's just doing this for clicks. He's just doing this for attention. He's just doing this for views and downloads and all that garbage that people send to me. At least I could have said that. This one's CBS Sports Network. Like, hey, we appreciate it at CBS Sports. We love that Tyreek Hill said these things. But I don't think anyone actually believes the Dolphins will win the Super Bowl this year. Because the way I look at it right now, Eagles and 49ers, two best teams in the NFC. I think one of those teams will win the Super Bowl. And then in the AFC, even though Kansas City is vulnerable in offense, still trust them more than the Dolphins in a big game, and they already beat them. And I also trust the Ravens, assuming Lamar Jackson is able to stay healthy. So he could say those things. He's in a new job. He's trying to talk positively about his team and inspire the teammates of the confidence, especially after losing Jalen Phillips, which is such a big-time blow to the Dolphins, because if they wanted to make the Super Bowl, they needed him to be playing at an elite high level, and unfortunately had the Achilles injury over the weekend, or that was on Black Friday, and now his season is over. So, Tyreek, you could say that this team is better than Kansas City at the end of the year. I would be shocked, really shocked. And I thought very highly of the Dolphins heading into this season. I still think they're a good team. My jaw would hit the floor, though. You're standing at the podium, and you're holding another shiny Lombardi trophy. And you don't do that, then there's no way you could actually say this Dolphins team is better than the Kansas City team that you won a Super Bowl with. The Kansas City team, by the way, that in every game they played in, they went down by double digits and then find a way to come back. And that shows the sign of a ridiculously great team when they cannot even play their best brand of football and still find a way to get to the finish line and be the final team standing on top of the mountain. We'll take a break. We'll come on back when we return. So we'll take 5 wins. I give you my top 5 teams in the NFL and college football.